I'm John Batchelor. Secretary of State, Mr. Antony Blinken, in Israel to make remarks about support for the Israelis as they gather their forces in the south, in the north, in the east. The message that I bring to Israel is this, said Mr. Blinken. You may be strong enough on your own to defend yourself, but as long as America exists, you will never, ever have to. We will always be there by your side. I welcome Cliff May, the founder and president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who writes most recently at the Washington Times about the events of these last days. And a distinction is to be made between these two wars, simultaneous wars, one in Europe, one in the Middle East. And the distinction is helped by doing some historical analysis of crises before. Cliff, a very good evening to you. What is a pogrom? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. It's a Russian word, and it goes back to the 19th century. In those days, Jewish villages, they were called shtetls often. If you saw a fiddler on the roof, you have some idea of what that was like in Ukraine, in Poland, in Russia, other parts of the world. Occasionally, and then increasingly, they would get hit by Cossacks or by others who would come in and rape and pillage and murder. But this was something that Jews suffered, and they had no way to defend themselves, and there was no local government that would defend them. One of the reasons for the state of Israel was to be able to fight back when Jews are attacked, raped, and murdered, as, of course, we've just seen on a grand scale in Israel.
This makes a distinction between a war and a pogrom. So in conducting its affairs, the Israeli forces right now, against what appears to be criminals who launched a pogrom, how is this different from what's going on in Ukraine? You make that distinction in your column.
Well, one important way it's different is this. The Russians want the Ukrainians to submit. They want the Ukrainians to say, we surrender and we agree we are Russians now and we will fight for Russia. Kind of similarly, Xi Jinping wants the Taiwanese to say we are Chinese and, of course, we will be ruled by the Chinese Communist Party. We agree to be subjugated. Hamas does not want to subjugate Israelis. It wants to slaughter Israelis, everyone. We know this because they say so. We know this because it's in the Hamas Charter of 1988. And it's worth reminding listeners that in 2005, the Israelis left Gaza. They withdrew. They were told, it is your presence here. We have Jews here on farms and greenhouses. Your presence here is the problem. So the Israelis said, let's try an experiment. We will leave. We will pull out every soldier, every farmer. We will pull out every synagogue. We will dig up every grave. We will leave you alone. We will leave behind only, and they did this, a $14 million high-tech greenhouse because let the Palestinians make a good living. They destroyed it because it was a Zionist greenhouse. Since then, de facto, Gaza has been a state, a Palestinian state, but ruled by Hamas all that time. It has continually tried to attack Israel. Until now, its attacks have been not consequential. This one was, and for that reason, the Israelis have decided this time around, we are not going to simply mow the lawn, the phrase that's used. We're going to destroy them. How did Hamas do all this? Well, with Iranian backing, the backing of a genocidal regime in Tehran.
That is part of the debate ongoing right now about Hamas's allies. The Wall Street Journal reported, as you well know, on the weekend, that there were sources, I believe in Lebanon, but you can never tell, and the Wall Street Journal stands by this report, claiming, boasting, that the attack by Hamas had been aided, funded, guided, and green-lighted in Beirut by Hezbollah, working directly with representatives of the IRGC, that's Iran. I have no reason to doubt it, and yet there seems to be some hesitation. This battle that we're about to witness, that's ongoing right now in Gaza, it does not end the story. Hezbollah is arrayed in a military fashion in the north, and Iran is arrayed in a military fashion from Tehran all the way to Beirut. Does the attack on Gaza, does that answer this story, Cliff, in your opinion?
Well, yes, I think it does. And I think we've known this anyhow. What is called the axis of resistance is the Islamic Republic of Iran. It's foreign legion that dominates Lebanon, which is called Hezbollah. Hamas in Gaza and to a certain extent in the West Bank, a group called Islamic Jihad that is a totally owned subsidiary of Iran. We know that that Hamas thanked profusely the Islamic Republic of Iran for the help in this, as they said, in this mission of slaughtering Jews, cutting the heads off babies, raping women. And that that mission has been applauded by leading spokesmen in Tehran as well. We know that that Hezbollah, Hamas, and Iranian military figures have been meeting for years in Beirut on a very regular basis, and in Tehran to some extent as well. So there's no, we know where the roots of this come from. We know who has made it possible for Hamas to do things that they were not able to do in the past. Training, weapons, money, all the things they needed to accomplish this. Very possibly cyber as well came out of Tehran. There may be reluctance to talk too much about Tehran as the puppet master here, because I think the Israelis, they need to sequence. They have work to do in Gaza. They are concerned that Hezbollah may open a second front, and if so, they'll have to deal with that. And then they do have Tehran. The Biden administration has been hesitant. Why? Not least because they recently said they've been giving money to the Islamic Republic of Iran since coming to office. When the Biden administration came to office, probably the Islamic Republic of Iran had $4 billion in useful reserves. We've given them at least 16, not all accessible, but we've given them, not least for the hostages. By the way, if five hostages taken by Iran are worth $1.2 billion each, why wouldn't Hamas think if I take American hostages, then I can get the same amount, maybe more?
There is another war, Cliff, and I want to attend to it just a moment, because Mr. Zelensky was at NATO begging for funds and arms and ammunition. Right now, two wars are overwhelming, but there is a connection here. Mr. Putin has been in conversation with Mr. Erdogan these last days, offering Mr. Erdogan's office to make peace in the Middle East and to end this. And Mr. Putin made disparaging remarks about an aircraft carrier now deployed to the Eastern Mediterranean to protect American citizens and to always be ready in case other bad actors enter into this. These wars are not the same. You've made that distinction. And yet, we're dealing with two wars at once. Is your measure that there is enough in Washington to focus on this? The Republicans have broken the process to resupply Ukraine. And it now there are doubts in Europe. There are doubts everywhere about America going forward and with two wars. What's your measure, Cliff? We have about a minute or so.
Listen, it's not easy, but these wars are different, but they are also connected. We're talking about what I've called and what Professor Waller Newell, whose expertise is on tyrannies, have called the axis of tyrannies. And that's China, which has a no limits partnership with Russia, and Russia and Tehran are partnering with weapons coming from Tehran to Russia to kill Ukrainians. And now we have what's going on in Israel. Yes, the United States, if it is going to continue as a leader of the free world, needs to do this. Now, the Europeans have to step up, too. They're not doing enough. They've done a great deal. Germany and France in particular, there's a lot out there. If the free world is to survive, much more has to be done. But it can be done. The weapons that are needed in Ukraine are very different from the weapons that are needed by Israel, and very different from what's necessary for Taiwan to defend itself. This is not going to be easy, but it's very important that free countries survive, that free countries win, that free countries are not defeated by tyrannies, barbarians, medieval religious fanatics.
Cliff May is the president and founder of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, which is underway. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.